Blog Talk Radio.
And today is day 7, Novena to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Catholic Church dedicates the month of August to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Immaculate Heart of Mary, venerated, often honored, together with the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the devotion we celebrate in June, and with good reason. The month of August is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart. Since the 16th century, Catholic piety has assigned entire months to special devotions. The month of August is traditionally dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It commemorates the joys and sorrows of the Mother of God, her virtues and perfections, her love for God and her divine Son, and her compassionate love for mankind. As early as 1643, St. John Eudes and his followers observed 8 February as the Feast of the Heart of Mary. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the Chaste Heart of St. Joseph, the Holy Family. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a symbol of Christ's immense love for humanity, with a wound of its side and a crown of thorns representing the damage of our sins. The Immaculate Heart of Mary gives us an example of how we as Christians should love. Paul VI said, "May the Immaculate Heart of Mary shine before the eyes of all Christians as the model of perfect love toward God and toward our fellow beings. May it lead them toward the holy sacraments, by virtue of which souls are cleansed from the stains of sin and are preserved from it. May it also stimulate them to make reparation for the innumerable offenses against the divine majesty. Lastly, may it shine like a banner of unity and a spur to perfect the bonds of brotherhood among all Christians in the bosom of the one Church of Jesus Christ, which, taught by the Holy Spirit, honors her with filial affection and piety as a most beloved mother. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, heavenly beauty and splendor of the Father, you are the most valued heavenly treasure. New Eve, immaculate in soul, spirit, and body, created in the godly seed by the Spirit of God, you are the spiritual mother of mankind. Pure virgin, full of grace, then and now, your whole being was raised heavenly in full glory, to be elevated above all the hosts within the kingdom of God. O heavenly mother, queen of heaven and earth, I recognize the glory of your highest title, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. O most blessed mother, heart of love, heart of mercy, ever listening, caring, consoling, hear our prayer. As your children, we implore your intercession with Jesus, your Son. Receive with understanding and compassion the petitions which we place before you today. Especially, we pray for Christian families around the world. May they embody and experience unconditional love and advance in holiness in their daily lives. We dedicate this novena for Pope Francis. We dedicate this novena for all the bishops in union with him, the priests and deacons, religious, for their continued mission to reach the world for Christ. We pray and dedicate this novena for the conversion of all of our political figures in government, that they will honor religious freedom, that they will honor life from the moment of conception to natural death. Religious freedom. We pray for all our first responders, police officers, EMT medics, paraprofessionals, our doctors and nurses, medical professionals, that they defend life. We pray for our military, those who are deployed around the world. We also dedicate this novena for the poor souls of purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. We pray for the end of abortion and Planned Parenthood. We pray that here in the state of Kansas, that people will vote en masse to stop abortion, which is on the voting block tomorrow. We pray to save lives of unborn children. I dedicate this novena for my wife and family members, and also for her healing and my healing. For all this coming year, RCIA candidates and catechumens preparing for the next Easter Vigil, we pray and dedicate this novena for America, that America will turn from the paganism and hedonism, the evil it had been heading towards. We pray for children runaways, that they will return safely home. So we dedicate all these things. We pray and dedicate all the needs of and prayer of deeper truth out there. Loving Mother, dispenser of endless blessings, you who continuously intercede on our behalf, please present these needs before your loving Son, Jesus. We are comforted in knowing your heart is even ever open to those who ask for your prayer. We trust to your gentle care and intercession. Those whom we love and who are sick or lonely or hurting, help all of us, Holy Mother, to bear our burdens in this life until we may share eternal life and peace with God forever. Amen. This litany was composed by John Henry Cardinal Newman shortly after he converted to Catholicism in 1845. And let us pray this with reverence and recall the many blessings that have flowed through Mary from Jesus to us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Heart of Mary, pray for us. Heart of Mary, like unto the heart of God, pray for us. Heart of Mary, united to the heart of Jesus, pray for us. Heart of Mary, instrument of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. Heart of Mary, sanctuary of the Divine Trinity, pray for us. Heart of Mary, tabernacle of God incarnate, pray for us. Heart of Mary, immaculate from your creation, pray for us. Heart of Mary, full of grace, pray for us. Heart of Mary, blessed among all hearts, pray for us. Heart of Mary, throne of glory, pray for us. Heart of Mary, most humble, pray for us. Heart of Mary, holocaust of divine love, pray for us. Heart of Mary, fastened to the cross with Jesus crucified, pray for us. Heart of Mary, comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Heart of Mary, refuge of sinners, pray for us. Heart of Mary, hope of the agonizing, pray for us. Heart of Mary, seat of mercy, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Immaculate Mary, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto the heart of Jesus. Let us pray. O most merciful God, who for the salvation of sinners and the refuge of the miserable was pleased that the most pure heart of Mary should be most like in charity and pity to the divine heart of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who commemorate this sweet and loving heart by the merits and intercession of the same Blessed Virgin may merit to be found like unto the heart of Jesus, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Promises of this novena of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Number one, salvation of our own soul. And this is what Mary promises. To all those who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months fulfill all the conditions requested, I promise to assist them at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for the salvation of their soul. This little devotion practiced with a good heart is then enough to procure infallibly for us the grace of final perseverance, of eternal salvation. And this promise is without any exclusion, limitation, restriction to all who I promise heaven for eternity for five holy communions. Two, salvation of sinners. And we have family members who have left the faith. So this one is an important one. So numerous are the souls which the justice of God condemns for sins committed against me, that I come to ask for reparation. Sacrifice yourself for this intention and pray. That's what Our Lady said to Sister Lucia at Toy, Spain, June 13, 1929. In consideration of this little devotion, Jesus and Mary wish to give the grace of pardon to souls who have had the misfortune of offending the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that's what wrote Sister Lucy in a letter of May 1930. And then this third, peace in the world. Whether the world has war or peace depends on the practice of this devotion. Wow, I'm going to say that again. Whether the world has war or peace depends on the practice of this devotion, along with the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This is why I, that's the Virgin Mary, that's why Our Lady, desires its propagation so ardently, especially because this is also the will of our dear Mother in Heaven. Again, Sister Lucy, March 19, 1939. The promise made by Our Lady to Lucia on July 13, 1917, that there would be a future manifestation concerning the practice of the five first Saturdays, was filled on December 10, 1925. Lucia was then a postulate sister in the Dorothean convent at Tarare, Spain. On this occasion, Our Lady appeared together with the child Jesus, who spoke first to Lucia. She said, "Have compassion on the heart of your most holy mother, covered with thorns, which ungrateful men place therein at every moment, while there is no one who does an act of reparation to withdraw them from it for her." Our Lady then addressed Lucia as follows, "Behold, my daughter, my heart encircled with thorns, with which ungrateful men pierce it at every moment by their blasphemies and ingratitude. Give me consolation, you at least, and make known on my behalf that I promise to assist at the hour of death with the graces necessary for salvation all who on the first Saturday of five consecutive months confess their sins, receive Holy Communion, recite five decades of the rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes, meditating on the mysteries of the rosary, with the purpose of making reparation to my Immaculate Heart. Confession, that's one. Two, receive Holy Communion. 3, devout recitation of the rosary with meditation, and 4, with the intention of making reparation. Historically, devotion to Mary Most Holy in the form of her Immaculate Heart first occurs in the 13th century with Saint Matilde, Saint Gertrude, Saint Bernardine of Siena, and others. In the 17th century, Saint Francis de Sales was an exponent of this devotion, but it was Saint John Eudes, the great apostle of the Immaculate Heart, 1601-1680, who gave the decisive impulse to this practice. In the same century, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus came to light through Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque and her confessor, Saint Claude de la Colombia. As the devotion to the Immaculate Heart spread, so did the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Both Saint Margaret Mary and Saint Claude were deeply dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary as well. Beginning with Pope Pius VI, the ninth, several popes incrementally spread the devotion, but in 1944, Pope Pius XII extended it to the whole church, fixing the celebration on August 22nd. That's not too far from now. Today is the 2nd of August. Today, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is celebrated on the Saturday following the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is movable, always observed on a Friday, 19 days after Pentecost Sunday. Of all symbols, the human heart is perhaps the most common and universal. Several examples of the various symbolic meanings of the word heart are found in both the Old and New Testaments. Proverbs chapter 4, 23 says, "With all watchfulness, keep your heart, because life issued out from it." Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27 says, "I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, "That Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts." And Psalms 50, verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Closely linked to emotions that alters one's heartbeat, the heart symbolizes one's preference and especially one's love. A mother's heart, for example, is a symbol of selfless love, full of affection, and unconditionally capable of the greatest sacrifices. On the other hand, the epitaph of King Richard of England, 1157-1199, "King Richard the Lion-Hearted," expresses his fearlessness, courage, through his heart. Our Lady said to Lucia, October 10th, 1925, "See, my daughter, my heart surrounded with thorns with which ungrateful men pierce me at every moment with blasphemies and ingratitude. You, at least, make sure to console me and announce that all those who for 5 months on the first Saturdays go to confession, receive communion, say 5 decades of the rosary, and keep me company for 15 minutes. Meditating on the mysteries of the rosary with the purpose of making reparation to me. I promise to assist them at the hour of death with all the graces necessary for the salvation of their souls." Again, that's what Our Lady said to Lucia, October 10th, 1925. The Memoriae. "Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implore your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. I walk the line.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper Truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
From man's earliest days, he has looked to the heavens for a being superior to himself. In the earliest annals of history, we find the results of his search. Zeus, chief of the gods of ancient Greece, who ruled by thunderbolt. Mars, the Roman god of war. Apollo, Thor, and other gods and goddesses that you'd better not cross if you know what's good for you. Then, gradually, from a single nation, emerges a god unlike any of the others that man had crafted for himself. This god didn't rule over man with an iron hand, but with a tender, sacred heart. He held out his hand in love to his creation, going so far as to sacrifice himself in atonement for the sins of mankind. The Greeks even had a name for him. They called this god the Unknown God, and even erected a temple to him. Years later, St. Paul would formally introduce him. And that is exactly why the Catholic Defender is here. Your host represents an unbroken line of succession to the apostles of the one called Jesus, the only one whose mercy and compassion overflows any container that tries to contain it. This is a God you really want to meet. We're here to make the introduction. This God is a God of judgment. However, first and foremost, he is a God of mercy and compassion. He won't turn you away. He holds out his hand in divine mercy to you and everyone. He loves you as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. He'll forgive your sin, not condone it. So what are we waiting for? Let's meet your host, Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, one with answers to your most pressing questions. Now, here's Don Hartley.
Living in the danger zone. In my life, I have lived at the tip of the spear. I have lived and survived the danger zone. I have seen Scud missiles knocked out of the sky by Patriot rockets, which lit up the whole sky. And I have seen the horrors of war. There is only so much you can do to prepare and defend yourself from attack when you are in the danger zone. Life can be like a minefield as well, with the danger of sin becoming more and more attractive. Because of the ignorance of what sin is and does, this becomes a very important danger zone. St. John writes, "All wrongdoing is sin." But he has more to say about sin. Not only are we denying sin, We are about to take the Holy Bible out of public libraries. The Bible is politically incorrect to the mainstream liberals. 1 John chapter 5, 16 states, "If anyone sees his brother sinning, if the sin is not deadly, that is venial, he should pray to God and he will give him life. This is only for those whose sin is not deadly." There is such a thing as deadly, mortal sin, about which I do not say that you should pray. St. Paul writes to St. Timothy, calling the unruly, the godless, the sinful, the unholy, and profane, those who kill their fathers or mothers, murderers, the unchaste, sodomites, homosexuals, kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is opposed to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 9-10. St. Paul also writes, "Do you not know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, premarital sex, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor boy prostitutes, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 and 10. Galatians chapter 5, 19-21 warns, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions and factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Those things which St. Paul warns about are what St. John calls deadly sin. Much of this that the Bible addresses have become interwoven in our society. As a result, the family institution is openly attacked and ridiculed by many in society. Because the family unit has become weakened in our country, this has affected the strength of the church. We have been riding in the danger zone for a good while now. As a result, divorce is well above 50%. Abortion has reached more than 60 million in 38 years. Pornography and sex is commonplace in the marketplace and advertising. Recently, North Carolina passed a law allowing men who want to be women use women's restrooms so they can flash themselves before children. Target and other stores are following suit. Incredible. If we are not in the times of tribulation and chastisement, we are certainly practicing for it. The Virgin Mary gave this warning at La Salette, France, in 1846. My child, it is important that all those who love my son pray for the graces of strength and perseverance at this time. The knowledge being revealed to you children through these messages is to help you prepare. Never feel you as God's army will not be able to withstand the evil regime about to show itself in the world shortly. Always remember the power of my Holy Rosary. Always remember the power of my Father is the greatest. My Father is the greatest power of all. No power is so strong that it can defeat the most glorious power of God. When you are a true child of God, when you come to the Father through my Son, you will be protected. Fear is caused by the unknown, but it can also be caused when the truth is revealed. Allow the graces which are being given to you through the crusade prayers to give you the peace of mind and strength of soul to march for the salvation of souls. The more souls who are converted to the love of my Son, the stronger will your crusade be. Love one another and join in prayer to help save God's children from the Antichrist. Pray, pray, pray that every soul will be brave enough to reject his poisonous mark. I have revealed these atrocities to the little children, Melanie and Maximin at La Salette, so long ago. The time for these prophecies to unfold is soon. These children were told of the evil plans and accepted what I told them. Now you children must accept that these events must take place. You must pray hard to dilute and mitigate much of the pain which will have to be endured by humanity. Be brave, children. Trust in my Son and allow him the freedom to guide you as he must, so that souls can be saved from the clutches of the beast. Your beloved Mother, Mother of Salvation. And Deeper Truth is wanting to encourage the faithful and help those living on the perimeter within the church, and to strengthen the Christian who is living in the danger zone. There is help. God does love you and wants to reach you through his church. He has given us so many graces and opportunities to respond to his call. This is a call to arms, a call to prayer and devotion. It is difficult to shield yourself within the danger zone. However, the rosary is a great weapon to fight the battle of life. The season of Lent is important in helping people through the danger zone, as all the seasons of the church, the church calendar, helping people through the danger zone to take self-inventory. The sacraments are important weapons that can totally remove a nation to repentance. The Word of God can help you through the danger zone. And Our Lady, the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
You've been around. You wanna die. It's got Sound.